come now to the New Testament scripture that you'll find at 1 Timothy, beginning at verse 12. Hear now the word of God. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we are yours. We belong to you, and your word you have given to us. Help us now by your Holy Spirit to be enabled to not only hear your word, but to act upon it, and that we would find ourselves knowing and seeing your glory in new ways today. And we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we're 7 days into the new year of 2024. Many of you, many people around the world have made resolutions to do things differently in 2024. And most of them have failed already at keeping those promises to change. Well, I have good news for you today. You still have January the 14th, which is Orthodox New Year. You can wait till the 14th and then make your resolution and try again. And if you miss that one, there's always the Chinese New Year, which is February the 10th. So if you fail up until the February the 10th, you can change after the February the 10th and still make it. I just wanted you to know that. The most famous Christian theologian in the history of the United States and its colonies, Jonathan Edwards, made many resolutions in his life. And here are some of those resolutions. Number 4, resolved never to do any manner of thing, whether in soul or body, less or more, but what tends to the glory of God. Nor be, nor suffer it, if I can avoid it. Number 6, resolved to live with all my might while I do live. Resolution 53, resolved to improve every opportunity when I am in the best and happiest frame of mind, to cast and venture my soul on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust and confide in him, and consecrate myself wholly to him, that from this I may have assurance of my safety, knowing that I confide in my Redeemer. Unless hindered, most people make resolutions of some kind to review the past year and to, upon that review, make resolutions for the new year. Most everybody does that. Renewal, rather than resolution, lies at the heart of real change. The Apostle Paul constantly did this kind of review and renewal in his life, as we can see in this text. Listen to him as he speaks. Verse 13. Though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent. He's reviewing his history. These are very violent words. He later says in verse 14, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, hyperabundance, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." We see this progress or progression of regress in the life of Paul in Acts 9, verse 1. The writer Luke comments on Paul, or Saul as he was known at that time, saying, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest," and we know the story. He went to the high priest seeking papers to get people from Aram or Syria, Damascus, and bring them for trial because they were believers in Christ. He thought at that point in his life that he was actually serving God. Jesus had predicted that this would happen. In John chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, Jesus says, "All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me." The word service in that passage is the word that's related to worship. So the Apostle Paul really thought he was worshiping God by murdering Christians and putting Christians in prison. He actually thought that and pursued it with a great vigor. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, as Luke records it in chapter 9 of Acts, verse 3. He says, and Jesus says to Paul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. Look at Paul's life, how he describes himself, how his review is that his life was what? A blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent. Or another way of saying that is someone who sought to capture, to run down, to get this person so that they could kill them or imprison them. That was Paul's life as a Pharisee. He didn't know Jesus. He didn't understand. He was ignorant. The triple regressive attitude of Paul. What did he say? Look at it again, verse 13. Blasphemer, persecutor, opponent is matched in verse 14 by the progression of Jesus' love for him. Look at verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." So for all the persecuting, all the blaspheming, all the opposing of the gospel that Paul pursued, he was met with grace, faith, and love. What a contrast that he sees here in this passage as he presents to Timothy, as he's sharing with him, not only about his own personal life, but also what Timothy had experienced as well in coming to Christ. The unfortunate thing is that we, as Christian believers, live among people who are just as ignorant as Paul was. And they live right next to us, don't they? In our own neighborhoods, in our own workplaces, in the line at Walmart or Target. We cannot expect an unbeliever to understand anything spiritual. Hear what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. This was where I was in my late teens. I remember my friends, Bob Capel and Tommy Peterson, were high school buddies of mine. And they had both gone to a revival meeting at a Baptist church nearby. And they had both walked the aisle and accepted Christ. And they wanted me to accept Christ. Well, I was a Presbyterian. I'd been a Presbyterian all my life. I showed up to church every Sunday because my dad made sure I did. And basically when they said, you need to come to Jesus and get forgiveness through Jesus, and I said, forgiveness for what? I was a good Presbyterian. I was going to make it. I was ignorant. I had sat under preaching. I know I had sat under preaching of the gospel many, 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 many times and never heard it. Never understood it. So how can we expect our neighbors, those who don't know Christ, to do any differently? We can't. So what is our response to those neighbors? Compassion. Because they're ignorant. Jesus didn't come to Paul and knock him off the horse and stick a lance in him. He simply said, why are you persecuting me, Paul? Lord, I didn't know I was. You were. And Paul was changed into the great apostle whom we know. This review of his life, this simple two verses of review, encapsulates his whole life. He had been a persecutor, a blasphemer, an opponent of the gospel. And now, he says to Timothy, I'm full of God's grace, love, and faith. What a review for a New Year's resolution. And then he says, I am now. Look at verse 12 again. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. And then drop down to verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. I am. First he said, this is who I was. Now, I am. This is a trustworthy saying, he says. I was the worst of sinners, the foremost. Paul reflected on Jesus' own words in the gospel. In Luke of chapter 5, verses 32, Jesus simply said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then again in Luke 19, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. The great apostle, the great Pharisee who in Philippians 3, in recording his life as a Pharisee, said he was blameless. How about that? That's pretty highfalutin thinking of yourself. I was blameless, he said. Now he knows he wasn't blameless and that he owed everything to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul's review of his past life didn't end with wallowing in all the bad stuff, all his rebellion, all his murder. Indeed, he was a murderer of Christians. He rejoiced in his salvation and the service wrought by God through Lord Jesus Christ. We all have pasts full of sin. But God has given us life and called us to ministry. Your ministry may not be the same as the Apostle Paul's, but it is a ministry of worship and of service to God, to which He is calling you day by day and is equipping you day by day. Your issue is knowing and understanding what that ministry is as you find it through the Scriptures. And so he made a review of his past life. He now looks at his life as a Christian and says he owes it all to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners. A trustworthy saying. Notice again, he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Notice what he says there. He doesn't say he was the foremost, does he? He says, I am the foremost. He remembers that he's a sinner. He remembers how egregious that sin was. But he doesn't live there. It is a part of his nature. It is a part of who he is and who he was. And it's something that he remembers when God brings it to mind, that God lifted him out of that darkness into his marvelous light of grace, faith, and love. But he doesn't stop at the present. Look at verse 16. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Paul understood, finally, the patience of God. He speaks about it in Romans 2, verse 4, where Paul says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? That's where I was in my late teens. I wasn't repentant. I didn't even recognize my own sin. But God brought that to bear in my life and became my Lord and Savior. Not because of anything in me, but because of his call and his grace. Paul saw himself as a super example of God's patience and kindness. Most of us, I would hope, all of us, can't claim to have been murderers of Christians or imprisoners of Christians. But Paul could. That was a real part of his history. And so he could say, I am the foremost, not only of sinners, but the foremost of the example of the patience of God. And we are too, aren't we? We are too. God's patience with us brought us life and forgiveness through repentance. And so people are watching you and me. All of us. The people in your neighborhood. The people in your family. Your friends. Your work associates. They are watching you. They're watching me. What are they seeing in us? What about this year? This year that we have just stepped into. I want to bring to you verse 17 of Paul's letter here, chapter 1. Listen to what he says. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul wasn't saying, be honor to Paul, the foremost of sinners and the foremost example of God's patience. No. He said, praise be to God who brought faith and hope and love into my life, has renewed it, has completely changed it, has turned me completely around, which is the meaning of repentance. Turning completely around, 180 degrees. This is where the psalmist found himself in Psalm 77. Life had been difficult and distressing. Read Psalm 77 when you have a chance, maybe this afternoon, and think it through. He sets the pattern for the review and the renewal that Paul shows us here in 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul knew true forgiveness and constantly reminded the churches and his protege, Timothy, of the source and the proper response to that source. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he speaks about this in some of his letters, or actually just his letter to the Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 6, Colossians. So then, just as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And then Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. What about this year for you and me? Will it be a year of trouble and hurt and trial? Yes, it probably will. Some of us sitting here today will undergo very difficult things in our lives. We know that to be true because we've already been through some, haven't we? They're going to come. But in God's grace, this year can be a year of thankfulness in which we understand that we are the foremost examples of God's grace, love, and faith to other people whom we will meet, with whom we will deal. Those, many of those we may pray with, or we may traverse life and death with this coming year. So how will your resolution be formed this new year? Formed in grace and gratitude and thankfulness to our great Savior and Lord. Just as the Apostle Paul, review, I am, I will be. This is our call. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you brought the Apostle Paul to life through, out of his ignorance, through your grace, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is beyond our understanding, but it is not beyond our experience, Father. Because you've done that for us. You've brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Help us to be in this new year praisers of you, that people would see in us praise and thanksgiving for who you are and who you've called us to be. And we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.